Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky and joining me today is Leah. Hi Leah.
Hi.
And Heather. Hey Heather.
Hello.
Thanks everybody for sticking around. We've had some issues starting up.
We're having some technical difficulties.
Leah put on her news reporter voice for us. It was very nice.
You like that?
Yeah. So we are into our new format. It's Wednesday night and we're diving into our book club style discussions as we sip and chat about whatever our selected title of the week is. And this is a selected title that we did one quick shot on Dante.
Was it Dante? Do we talk about Joey too? I know we talked about Joey.
I know we've talked about Joey, but I don't know if we did.
Let me look it up.
I can't remember.
Quick shot. Oh,
I lost my cursor again.
So anyway, this episode, we are discussing Caris by Sadie Kincaid. Mm-hmm. Here are the things that you guys should know before we start. This was released April 18th, 2024. Tropes. This is deception trope, revenge, enemies to lovers, close proximity, and shared trauma. Series name is The Chicago Ruthless. It is a standalone series. I think each of these books stands on their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
POV is first person multi because this is a male-male-female romance. So we get all three POVs. Mm-hmm. Put out percentage was 7%. It pops hot. Mm-hmm. And it is like hot. Right on it. Audio narrators are Angelina Rocha, Bradley Ford, and J.F. Harding. And this is done in duet style. Okay. I have to say a couple of things. I know, right? No one is shocked by this. So yeah. I did do the audiobook. And I actually ended up enjoying the audiobook. I'm not a huge fan of duet narration, particularly this one, because while it was easy to identify Angelina's voice and who she was playing and who was speaking, the men sounded very similar, and I am not familiar with either of their work, and it would have been nice if at the beginning of the audiobook when they do the opening credits, if each of them had done a voice sampling. For example, Angelina Rocha playing the voice of Caris, Bradley Ford playing the voice of Romeo, or J.F. Harding performing the voice of, and say his character.
So you don't know who did which character?
I have no idea who was the voice males. Of Ace and who is the voice of Romeo. Mm.
So I don't know either, but I could tell them apart.
I just felt like they blended together. How fast did you listen?
Oh, I only listen at, my brain can't keep up more than just regular.
So I listened at, I think it was 2.5.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry, at 1.25. It might have been 1.5.
I'm going to say 2.5 is fast, because I usually do 1.75, and that's pretty speedy.
Rachel listens as fast as Audible will take her. And I can't keep up. My brain just literally, the ADHD and the audiobook are like, sorry, no go, girl.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
I have to listen to it faster because my brain, like, it loses focus. But Becky and I were talking about that earlier. We were talking about the audiobook. And like I said, if they had found two people with two completely different octave of voices, it probably would have blended a lot better. Because like if you had an Aiden Snow and a Teddy Hamilton, like their voices are very distinctively different.
100%.
So I didn't do the audiobook, so I don't know what it sounded like, but just going off of what Becky said, like, I think maybe if you're doing multiple people, you just have to really watch those distinctive octave changes and like what octave a narrator's talking in.
So to be fair, I think Angelina Rocha did amazing job.
Absolutely.
Doing Caris. I mean, her, like, she's kind of like she's a badass, and her voice is like spot on. Like,
I've liked everything I've listened by her.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it.
She was the most outstanding performance in this audiobook, in my opinion.
I might have to listen to it.
It's good. I like it.
It was very good. So the ebook itself is available in Kindle Unlimited. The audiobook is only available in audio. You can get it for the $7.49 or $7.99.
Whisper Sync
price. The author has very clear content and trigger warnings in the mm-hmm. front of the book.
She does, yes.
The audio does not, I think, say the content and trigger warnings.
That's odd, because usually they...
It's like if they're very uncommon to have them.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Maybe because I usually am always going from one to the other. Like, I always look at the ebook stuff before I listen to the audios.
So content trigger warnings, sex trafficking, sexual assault off page, and there is on page violence. And obviously we have a revenge plot and deception and it's mafia. Mm-hmm. So
the two characters, Romeo and Ace, work for the Moretti family, who is a mafia family in Chicago.
But the mafia was not heavy in this plot.
Mm-mm, no.
No, like it was like just this big, like the side, like introduction of the family piece of it.
Yeah. I will say overall talking about this story, sometimes when we get a polyamorous couple, like the Y choose, but this is a throuple,
mm-hmm.
it is more steam than it is plot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This book was incredibly well balanced with storyline
mm-hmm.
and spice.
Yeah, I think so too. And I like the fact that it was so story heavy because of the background of Karis and the nature of like why like her character was introduced in the first place. I think if we hadn't gotten as much story, then it would have fallen really flat and not been like as successful in the telling.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about our heroine, Karis. I think mm-hmm. that as far as the three characters go, she is the most dynamic.
Yeah.
She has the best character arc. Yeah. She has the most growth. She's a badass.
She really is. But she has the most like emotional change throughout the book too. Like from the revenge to seeing like where she was wrong, but accepting that she was wrong. Like she accepted her mistakes, which I thought was really nice. And then like what she created at the end of the story was really like dynamic, which we'll talk about as we go.
And she's very heavy on revenge at the start of this book and deception. And mm-hmm. she hates these people. This is a great example of enemies to lovers. And I'm calling on you, Heather, because you're very clear to tell you don't like enemies to lovers.
I do not, which is odd because I love mafia, but this was really well done. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of hate sex too. And I was there for it.
There was so much anger and so much hate. Mm-hmm. And her conflict, her internal conflict of her hatred towards this family and these people, it was done in such a gradual way that the hate sex made sense. It wasn't mm-hmm. an automatic like, oh my God, I fucking hate you, to now I love you.
But it wasn't like this blatant hate either. It was like there's hate with like genuine feeling undertones in it. So it worked differently than some of the hate sex that like you find in other books.
They really had a disdain for each other, but they were so drawn to each other. And I mm-hmm. think Ace in particular is a character who feels really deeply and is able to provide like protection and safety for especially Romeo and Karis, right? Mm-hmm. Like Ace saw that there was something going on with Karis and he couldn't put his finger on it. And that actually made him mad that he cared about her when he didn't really want to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was something too, like the dynamic. One of the things that I really did enjoy is reading this as male, male, female. Sometimes we come into these situations of these polyamorous couples and the person coming in, you know, it's odd, or they'll make a comment like, I don't know that I could love both of you. There was just this easy acceptance to this relationship. Karis came in. She didn't try to change anything. She didn't try to divide and conquer. She just fully accepted that this is who they are.
Well, but I think part of it, though, is like they were in a like a long term relationship, like when she showed up. And a lot of times we don't always get that. Like the polyamorous aspect to it is like they randomly share people, like other women, or they randomly hook up with each other, or they randomly do this, or they're trying it out, like to do this. And like it's the connection between the three of them. Like these two guys, Romeo and Ace, had been in a relationship for 4 years. And yes, they had shared women like throughout that 4 years, but it was just kind of like an added bonus to them. Like, so I think that was part of the dynamic too, is like they were fully established. And like she just kind of popped in and like changed the dynamic of their relationship, but not catastrophically. Like she was a cog that they didn't know they were missing.
I will also say, Heather, Ace is not a typical caregiver, but in this book, he's a caregiver.
He really is. He, I mean, yes. And I also like that it's mafia and that these two are in a relationship, and that's not super common in mafia. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit
although, a step out of the norm. Joey's hero, what's his name?
Max.
Max.
Max hates them.
Mm-hmm.
He hates them.
He does. Well, because they messed up.
Well, even
and also they used to flirt with Joey. And yeah, I mean Max is uber possessive. Like, touch her and I will, like, I mean, there's no eyeball scooping here, friends, but there's definite like I will cut you.
I would say Ace is not a typical caregiver. And I also like that Romeo is this like buff, tough guy who is also alpha, but he also is vulnerable enough to let Ace kind of take care of him.
Yeah. So we have in this book deception trope. What were you going to say, Leah?
But they really play off of like their like feral characteristics and like bring out the feralness in each other. And we all know I kind of like a feral hero. I mean, it just works for me. Not in real life, friends, just my romance books. But I think that's part of it, is like they allow themselves, like each other, to like hit that line, but they know like when they need to step in to bring them back.
Yeah.
They really just play to like the best parts of each of them and the worst parts, but in a good way.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, I think it does. So one of the big pieces that starts this story is the deception. Mm-hmm. Karis comes into their lives to drug them so that she can get access mm-hmm. to their phones mm-hmm. and then access to Joey, because that's who she intends to kidnap.
But that is not what happens.
Did the deception bother you?
Mm-mm. Not in this one.
I think because we got her perspective, like the introduction to her made it, I think, I don't want to say it was okay, but I felt like it was, like, I knew it was like something she had to do. I didn't love that she was deceptive, because I don't necessarily love that. But I also am like, these two are kind of dumbasses. Like, what in the hell?
Yeah.
Get with the program, dudes.
We did have in this book, Romeo has some jewelry
mm-hmm.
on his penis. So let's talk about Ace.
He has two.
Oh, he has a
penis, and he has one on his tongue.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, I forgot about the tongue.
I did not forget. And it's already on my list. Don't worry.
It's already on your list. Okay, so let's talk about who Romeo and Ace are. We said Ace is the caregiver. Romeo has a history. So his connection, his bond to Karis is almost stronger than Ace's bond to Karis, because he's been there. He understands the lack of safety, the lack of understanding.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting because like the way like they do not know what happened to her until like later in the book, but it's like this this soul deep like notion that like he knows that something like that happened to her, especially like during the nightmares that like she wakes up with like while she's with them. And that's the thing, like they connect on like a much deeper level, even though like neither one of them like really recognizes it. Like they have that, but they don't acknowledge it at the same time. But it that's the thing, like Romeo is a very, he's a damaged guy, and like Ace like has healed him in a way he never expected. And so like them like adding Karis and hoping to do the same for Karis as Ace did for him, it like brings it full circle.
Romeo has more faith in Ace than Ace has in himself. And so I
Oh, for
think that
sure.
that's really where almost like Ace is, doesn't want to let Romeo down either. Like he doesn't want to let either of them down. And so he kind of pulls it out of himself.
So one of the other things about this book is it's actually told in two parts. And the big bad in each side of the book changes, sort of. Because in the first part of the book, really, the Moretti family is our big bad, right? Because they hold all the information as to who trafficked her mother and who trafficked
Well,
her.
but she's also like after the brothers because she thinks that they are part of all of this.
She also herself is technically a villain in the beginning of the book because she kidnaps Lorenzo's wife, which I was perfectly okay with because sister is too stupid to live.
But also, let me tell you, so at the end of Lorenzo's book, if you've read it, like at the end of his book, like I didn't really like feel like the love, but dude loses his shit. Like he's like going to peel the skin off of her. Like, so like you know, like in this book, like how far, like in I like the fact that we saw his devotion to her in this book that we didn't necessarily see in the last book. Because it really made me believe that like he does really care for her now. But yeah, he did threaten to peel her skin off. You're welcome, friends.
We did learn her connection to Lorenzo. Okay, did you like that? Because that kind of came out as a surprise that at the end of the day, Lorenzo was her savior from being trafficked.
Like, I had a feeling it was going to be one of them because
Me
there
too.
had to be some sort of connection for her to believe what they were saying. Like, there had to be like that moment because, like, whoever saved her talked to her. Like, and I didn't know who it was going to be. And honestly, like, the fact that it was Lorenzo and he's such this stoic, like, kind of angry guy, it worked really well. But
Only
I
the
knew it was going to be
problem,
one of the three of them.
the only problem I had with it is the timeline issue because he was in Italy, wasn't he? When
No,
they.
because they went back and forth
Okay.
until she was sick.
I think when Dante like figured out, I'm trying to like Rolodex back through because I think as soon as Dante figured out that his dad was into trafficking, I think he called Lorenzo and was like,
I
get your
think he
ass
came
back to
home.
Chicago. It had to have happened before the start of Dante because it's when they moved the half sister that's the MMA fighter or no, the former fiance. That the father had, right?
Well, no,
The ones that
it's
have
been
been
she
so long since I read Dante. Shit.
but the sister-in-law didn't get like they didn't move and stay in Italy until she got sick the second time, wasn't it?
I thought they moved the first time and then she beat it and then they came home when she was sick the second time.
Well, and but that yeah, so she they were home for a while, like
I just felt
before
like
he
the
met
timeline
Kat.
was a little muddled.
I was okay with the timeline.
Okay.
This for
But
this
I
it didn't
think this
bug
is
me.
further down the road than Lorenzo because of the kids, right? Because they have more like
Yeah,
the
because
kids.
they're
It's
on
true.
baby number three.
That's true. Okay, so stories in two parts. At the end of the first part, Karis loses her best friend Nyx. And Nyx is part of the reason that she's hell-bent on revenge. She's trying to help her reclaim herself. But it is very clear that Nyx is not well.
She's very mentally unstable. And that's putting it lightly.
Yeah.
Well, and it's clear that she does not want to change that either. Mm-hmm.
Like, no.
Were you okay? I mean, we're never okay, but were you okay with her dying? Were you yes. okay mm-hmm. with how they handled it?
Yeah.
It was a little, I think she got over it very quickly, but I feel yeah. like through that process, I think she kind of came to the realization that she's really ill and I am not going to be able to help her.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, she was nervous about Mia. Maya.
Well, she was nervous the whole time that Mia yeah. was even with her. So right. it's like, you figure as like the story played out, like she was even nervous before it all happened because she hadn't been taking her meds. She hadn't been doing all of these things. And she was pretty much
spiraling.
Yes, that is the word I'm trying to say. Words are hard, friends, and I don't know why. But she was already on that path, like before, like they pulled the trigger mm-hmm. on any of this. So I think, yes, I feel like she did get over it a little bit soon, but at the same time, I think she realized like this was going to be the outcome no matter what happened, like whether it was her doing it or one of them doing it, like there was no other way that nobody else was coming out of it unscathed unless that was the end game.
Okay. And I feel like Karis really had sort of like, when I say this, it's going to sound weird, but she has like a moral compass. Like she's very protective of women and children because mm-hmm. of everything she went through.
Yeah.
Which to me, it's sort of a dichotomy because she kidnaps a woman and then we find out that she's pregnant. So she puts women in danger. Like it was this weird thing. Like that's where I struggled with mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
Well, but at the same rate, like she was planning on kidnapping Joey, who like when
was
like,
still a woman.
Well, yes, but in her eyes, Joey was a lot more vicious and ferocious than Mia was. So like there was not as much like guilt in the fact that she was going to kidnap Joey.
Probably would have killed her. I mean, like let's be real. That's why Sadie could not have actually had her take Joey because. Yeah. Girl would have lost her mind and Max would have fucking lost. I mean, we think Lorenzo lost his gourd. I cannot even imagine.
The world would have burned. The world would have burned.
Joey would have burned the world down herself because that girl is right. a badass. And I think that's why it worked out the way it did. And that's why she wrote the book the way she did. But I think that had that Joey been in that situation, that whole scene, like that whole culmination scene would have been vastly different. Than the way it played out.
And it's interesting because her losing her friend, it felt void of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
But the scene where she goes to see where her mother is buried in the field yeah. of flowers, that was crazy emotional. Mm-hmm. And so there was this kind of disconnect a little bit. Like,
well,
you would have thought each would have been equally as emotional.
But even as like you're reading the book, though, Karis talks about like her ice and her walls and compartmentalizing and like closing herself down to a lot of feelings and how she hasn't cried since she was 12. Like, so I think in some ways, like it is a disconnect, but at the same rate, like she has held back every emotion but rage for so long that like she needed that breaking point at her mother's grave. And like Nyx dying, like there was that the fact that Nyx was about to hurt Mia and the baby. So I think that like she wasn't feeling those emotions because she was feeling so guilty that her actions could have caused something bad to happen in that moment. So like,
I also think that Nyx is she had to take care of her constantly.
Yeah.
Like she was constantly taking care of Nyx and trying to help her heal somebody who was so resistant to it that it sort of stunted. I mean, like it frustrated her and it was mm-hmm. wearing on her.
Yeah. I can see that. Okay. So next part, you have the second half of this book where they, Ace and Romeo are joining Karis to finally find the guy that's the head of all the sex trafficking, the guy that profited the most, that was doing mm-hmm. all the movement of the humans. that Moretti was getting money from and all those things. And that part of the book, I think, moved really well. Mm-hmm. And he ended up being some random guy that we have never heard his name or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I did like that we saw the New York guys that are the family that's getting the next series of books.
Yeah,
same.
And I'm super excited about that. The receptionist has got to be his love interest.
Well, let me take a gander.
You go here. Take a gander because I don't she think was
she
like,
has the blurbs up yet, does she?
Because the receptionist was kind of sassy, right?
That or the receptionist is going to be like the bad like girl. You know how there's occasionally like the villain, like the female, villain. Like,
yeah.
And she wants to do him and he doesn't want to do her. And she goes after like his love interest.
Maybe
it is. The blurb is not up. However,
what does she say?
Is a billionaire, which we knew. Marriage of convenience.
Oh, I like all those things.
This girl up. July 30th, 2024. Sadie Kincaid. If you need someone to read your arc, please just reach out.
Okay. So, and we get in the second half of the book just how dominant Ace is sexually. And yeah. It like, there is a whole scene on a motorcycle. Like, yeah. They get off the motorcycle, and he's yeah. I've had fucking enough. Bend over.
Well, but I will say, though, like, he does, like, I mean, we all like, I mean, you, we all like the three of us is like, we're in a row, like up and down, which is why I'm going like this. Like, consent is not always necessary in our books.
No,
but Ace is like, you either are going to say yes to this or you're going to walk away. Cause he's like, I'm not going to do that to her. So he had like that conscious moment of I need consent. And I mean, she did not walk away. So he did things.
She didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Once they burn out the big bad and, you know, mm-hmm. he's dead and done. And they go back to Chicago.
Yeah.
And Ace and Romeo don't know what they're going to face because, you know, they lost Mia. And Lorenzo is like, And Karis leaves them at the hotel and goes to Lorenzo first.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives her a choice. She can leave and go to her island, here's some money, or hey, you could do good in the world.
Yeah.
And she makes her choice. But the book's not over. There's still another 175 pages. There is 2 hours. There are 2 hours of audio after he has her make her choice.
Really?
Yeah.
So this is a long book, apparently.
It's here, let me look.
I wanted to chuck my phone over the ending. It was too fucking long.
It's 346 pages.
But the pacing in the ending was long.
That's the thing. Like, when she gets the convent and like that whole situation, like it's, and then like they show up and then it's 5 months later or 4 months later. And then there's another 5 months later. And then there's the epilogue. Like, you could have just done like the one time jump, like where they're like doing the opening of the thing.
Didn't mind them coming together.
Well, but okay. They did that before the first time jump.
Right. Like, I didn't mind, like, they go to the house and he's like, Lorenzo's like, I don't want you two doofuses employed by me, but I hear Karis could maybe use you. And they go to be with her. And they confront him. And it's a dark moment that's not a breakup because they're not really together.
Yeah.
And I liked that. And had it ended there,
I would have been content.
I would have felt secure in that HEA. I wouldn't have needed an epilogue. Now, because we're doing all these, and because I am a team player, even when nobody else reads the book, hey, listen, we are on week 4 of these.
Okay, I just didn't read one. I'm sorry, but that one was not.
But I did, and I read it through the epilogue. But what I'm saying is I read this one through the epilogue.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have. You know why I shouldn't have?
We didn't need it.
No, because he doesn't use lube.
No, he He does not use lube.
But he talks about why he doesn't use the lube.
Because he wants to feel the tightness and the dryness and the harshness.
I'm just saying.
It's wrong.
If
you're part of Buzzing About Romance Patreon, fancy drinks or higher level, you would have gotten your Be Kind, Use Lube coloring sheet. Or using lube shows you care. If you love someone, you use lube.
Jenny said that's rude.
It was really rude. I was very upset. I read an epilogue and then it had the audacity to not use lube.
I think honestly, like, she could have epilogued like the opening of the center. Like, if she needed and wanted an epilogue, like, cut out like the first, like,
but the epilogue was 37 pages long because
I didn't need
you had
that,
the
though.
Gala,
I'm saying, like,
and then the family showed up, and then they had to have the sexy
epilogue,
times.
Though, like, I would have been content with like the opening of the convent and like the center and all that stuff, because like that part, that section didn't bug me, but I didn't need the other stuff.
Not one single word in the epilogues bothered me at all.
I was bothered by the lack of lube.
Even though they didn't use lube?
I mean, I didn't love the, but he did.
That's fine.
Twice.
I'm going to let your husband know that you, lube's optional. Heather is not really interested
you
in lube.
You go
buddy.
Do that.
We'll tell him when we
like,
get to
whatever.
Lube.
I'm going to make Heather a t-shirt like, that says
lube
is optional.
Oh my God. I will buy you a shot.
No.
If you wear that shirt. I'll buy you a shot of like Diet Coke or something.
Okay. I don't mind epilogues. I sort of wish that every book the author would write me a Christmas letter just to fill me in on all the things that are happening.
But that's different. That's completely different. Those are bonus scenes. That is different.
I liked this one. I liked because I feel like Ace and Romeo wanted more out of their life, and she had never even thought, like, when Lorenzo said, what do you want in your life? Mm-hmm. And she's like, nobody's ever asked me that. Yeah. And so I think she had not had the opportunity to dream about her life. She only thought about Phoenix. And so this was sort
of
like
she felt secure
watching
to dream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this showed she had the security to dream. And again, though, them coming to her and saying, we want to be here with you in this moment, in this place.
Yeah.
That would have been fine. Skip all the other 72 chapters between there and the epilogue. I probably wouldn't have hated on the epilogue other than they didn't use lube.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. Like,
if you're
going to
make me read an epilogue, authors, please use lube.
Well, honestly, like when we had that first like time jump and it was like the 4 months later or whatever, I was like, oh, the epilogue. Like, why didn't she call it the epilogue? But then I kept reading. I was like, oh, that wasn't the epilogue. Like, it just was extra unnecessary stuff. But some people might like that.
I am one of those people. Okay.
The more I get, the better. Happy.
So if you enjoyed Karis,
yes.
What other books might readers
have one tonight
enjoy? Go
so
for it,
Sarah,
Leah.
Sarah Bale has her bedtime stories. There's a bunch of thruples, and well, there might be more than two. Also, it's
the Goldilocks one is three
the
bears.
Goldilocks, it's three bears, yeah, but it's not more than three.
Retelling.
So.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. But the Bale bedtime stories, like those would work. Similar to these, and they're like mafia-esque as well. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you got?
And honestly, if you haven't read Sarah Bale yet, you just need to do it.
You do.
I have actually the Ryan Brothers by Sadie Kincaid. It's a really good series. Do you want to know what I did? I brought the Ryan Brothers book with me to Denver. I was so excited to see her. I got all flustered. I left it at the damn table. I never brought it home. But yes, tell me about it. It's a little annoying. For myself, I did that.
Did you message her? Did you message
no,
her? She might
she
have just
message her.
England.
Be like, hey,
I'm in England.
But be like, I'm a dumbass, and I was so flustered and like fangirled in front of you that I left my book on your table.
I am, and she is the sweetest human, you guys. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, the other one is the Dare Minaj series by Jeannie St. James. It's not dark though. It's not like mafia,
really?
But I don't feel like it's dark. No.
The she has audio, some dark-ish.
The audios are stellar. I listen to them on AnyPlay, but the ebooks are in Kobo Plus.
I will say Homewrecker by Sarah Kate is male, female. I also think she has Mercy is male, female. And Madam is female, male. Mm-hmm. Bound by Shannon Elliott is female, male. That is spicy and has good plot and is polyamorous. Mary Carr has tons. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, well, often in hers, the swords don't cross, but I think the last one they did.
Yeah, the last one, the swords cross, steady and strong.
Yeah.
Who was I going to say?
But she uses lube because she cares.
She uses lube. She cares. dang it. Oh, Elle Kennedy. She has her hot series. It's like one of the older series, but it's all like men in uniform. It actually might be the man in uniform series. She's since like retitled and stuff, but there's a couple thruples. One is male, female, but she changed the titles in the past couple years and I couldn't tell you what the name is.
It's called Out of Uniform.
There you go.
It's a 3-book series. So book 3 is a spicy military poly romance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ladies, men.
Yeah. So, but their swords cross. So.
And Kelly Jameson has a couple of really great thruple romances.
And Lexi Blake has thruples, and I mean, she has a whole thruple town in her Sophie Oak, but they're like suspense light. But then in her Masters of Mercenaries, there's thruples, and a couple of them the swords cross.
So, anyway, Jane Rylan also has a lot of poly books, I think. Mm-hmm. And Mary Carr and Lila DuBois also write.
Yeah.
A lot of thruples. Okay. Mm-hmm. So thank you guys for reading Karis with me.
You're welcome.
Thank you for letting us read Karis.
Even with no lube, I still read it. Oh, I forgot to do our thing. So for this book, is Karis a thumbs up or a thumbs down for Leia?
It's a thumbs up.
Oh, Heather, is your...
You got a thumbs up.
You got a thumbs up, Heather.
How fun.
Heather,
you
is
have
this
to hold
a
it there for like an
up?
Hour.
Heather, is this that thumbs up cool. or thumbs down yeah. for you?
Thumbs up.
Why does mine not work?
It's a thumbs up for me, too. I think this
is
great.
Do you have
to
great. Have the whole like hand in the frame?
I don't know, Leah.
It only does it once per Zoom.
I know, but it's so dumb. It's like, it says that they can do it, but then it doesn't actually do it unless we're not trying. It okay. makes me angry.
We are off topic. Okay.
Anyone
Heather
else,
and Leah, thank
up.
You for reading the book. And yes, this is our first, all of us gave it a thumbs up.
Thank you for keeping us on our toe, keeping track of us, Stacey.
Be sure to visit our website to stay up to date on our upcoming selections. If you're a member of the Buzzing About Romance Patreon, you can contribute to our Sip and Discuss picks. We have a couple votes coming up for July.
Yes.
Join us this Sunday night for our next Buzzing About Romance episode and mark your, or Monday. Sorry, I lied. We actually are not here on Sunday night. We'll be back on Monday night because of the holiday. And then mark your calendars and join us next Wednesday when we dive into Whiskey Secrets by Carrie Ann Ryan. And I finished it today and I cannot wait to talk about it with all of you guys. So, audio's in Kobo Plus, if you're looking for it. Anyway, until next time, everybody.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes. Thank you.